Professor Carrie Leonetti is with us today. Children's human rights are being breached by outdated acts that were designed to provide for their care. Carrie is from the Faculty of Law at Auckland University. The 04 Act governs guardianship, care and contract disputes between parents in this country. According to Professor Leonetti, many young people are harmed by the seizures permitted by Section 68, 72 and 73 of the Act. Carrie is an internationally recognised expert on the intersection of science and the law. She joins us for a Kōrero Law this morning. Tēnā koe and welcome to the program, Carrie. Ngā mihi.
Morena, Dale.
Morena. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Appreciate your time. Now, you're saying that the family court routinely issues these warrants when tamariki aren't in fact in danger or posing a threat to others, and frequently in circumstances where they are actually resisting being forced to visit an abusive parent. Might you elaborate on this and explain how this can happen, please, Carrie?
Sure. So I feel like most people in Aotearoa, New Zealand, are aware that under the Oranga Tamariki Act, Oranga Tamariki can get these, what they euphemistically call, uplift warrants to remove children from their homes when they are experiencing abuse or neglect or at risk of experiencing abuse or neglect. And there's obviously been, I think, a national conversation for the last few years about whether Oranga Tamariki has been overly enthusiastic in using those warrants when there were maybe other better ways, particularly when it comes to working with whānau or hapū or iwi to address sort of the risk of harm to kids. But I think a lot of people in Aotearoa, New Zealand don't realize that there's a second statute that also authorizes the arrest of children in the family court, which is the Care of Children Act. So the Care of Children Act governs what we used to call private custody disputes. So if two parents separate and they can't agree on the care arrangements for their children, one parent can sue the other parent in family court, and then the family court will decide how to divide the child's care between the two parents. And there are provisions of the Care of Children Act that say that if one parent gets what's called a parenting order from the family court, so they have a court order for either care of or contact with their child, so that in the language of the statute, they're entitled to contact with the child, but the child doesn't come to their home for the court-designated contact time, they can ask for and get a warrant that authorizes the police to enter whatever private property where the child might be, which is usually but not always their other parent's home, and forcibly seize and deliver the child to the parent who has asked for the warrant. And as you sort of indicated in the intro, in a lot of these cases, what is going on is that the child has disclosed that the parent has committed acts of child abuse against them, and they've told family court personnel that they're afraid of the parent. And instead of hearing those disclosures and taking them seriously, the court responds by issuing one of these warrants to force the child, you know, physically force the child if necessary, using the police, into the care of the parent that they're afraid of. And in fact, the family court have a phrase they use for these kids. They say that they are resisting or refusing a contact order. And once a child is labeled resisting or refusing a contact order with one of their parents in the family court, that sort of sets them on the track that often ends up with the police forcing the children into the contact with a parent they say is harming them and they're afraid of.
Well, this is really interesting, Kōrero, in what you've just shared, and I thank you for that, Professor Leonetti. Now, Carrie, obviously Oranga Tamariki came under some heat and adjusted their practices because of Māori concerns about pepe uplift out of hospitals. They've modified their actions there. We haven't spoken as much about this issue, and it's understandable too. A lot of, I'm sure one of this situation happened to a guy I knew too. He was accused of abusing his kids, but it was a last-ditch effort by his partner who was aggrieved to try and keep him away from the tamariki. It caused years of heartache, to be honest, and it was a spurious claim, but nevertheless, it really did affect the ability for him to maintain contact with his children. So the dynamics you've just touched with, what needs to happen to make it better and fairer, whilst at the same time guaranteeing the safety of our tamariki, which obviously is paramount.
Yeah, you know, I think you've landed on an important issue about the family court, which is they don't really have a good way forensically to determine whether children's disclosures of abuse are true or not. I mean, I can tell you that statistically we know that the vast, vast majority of children's disclosures of child abuse are true. That doesn't mean false disclosures don't happen. But unfortunately, in the family court, they tend to operate on the assumption that children's disclosures of abuse are false. So all kids who disclose abuse are essentially treated as if they are fabricating the claims. And more specifically, yeah, usually they're treated as if they're making up claims at the behest of their other parent. And so I guess the sort of short answer, though, is forcing a child, you know, violently by the police into the care of a parent they've said is abusing them does not strike me as the best way to resolve factual disputes about whether a child is or is not safe in another parent's care. I think one of the things I've always found most striking about the family court is when children disclose abuse to, say, for example, their lawyer for the child, the lawyer for the child doesn't call Loranga Tamariki, and they don't call the police, who are the agencies that are in the best position to determine whether these kinds of claims are true or not, and whether children have ongoing safety risks or not. They just assume pretty much automatically that the disclosures are untrue. And I think that's, I mean, that's a lot of what we see. We know from studies that about 4% of the time that kids make disclosures of abuse in the context of parental separation, they're not true. And obviously that's, it's heartbreaking for the parent who's falsely accused. It's also something's going on with a kid if they're making a false disclosure of child abuse. But it's 4% of the time. And these warrants treat it as if it's 100% of the time, as if any time a child says, I'm not safe in the care of a parent, the solution is simply to force them into that person's care anyway.
Kia ora. So the family court was set up to protect families. What's been their response, and who ultimately carries responsible for making the much-needed changes to protect our tamariki better?
So this is one of the frustrations I have with the court is there has been news media coverage of this for, I'd say, 5 or 6 years now. And it's not every now and then there will be an online story about this. And what typically happens is that the family court personnel will claim that they only do this as a last resort. That's what they say. We only issue these warrants as a last resort. But according to official data from the Ministry of Justice, for the last 6 years from which data are available, so middle of 2016 to middle of 2022, the family court has issued between 500 and 650 of these warrants for children per year. So they've issued thousands of these warrants just in the last 5 or 6 years. So that to me is not a last resort. So the first thing at a minimum the family court needs to do is do what Oranga Tamariki has done. Commit to the fact that these warrants should only happen when a child is in imminent danger of harm and only when there's no less traumatic way to respond to the risk of harm that the child is facing. I mean, the family court's not open weekends. They're not open on public holidays. So to issue 650 of these a year, the family court is issuing 3 of them for every day that the court is open. I mean, that's not a last resort. And I think just like we've had this conversation about Oranga Tamariki, where hopefully the agency now understands that just because you can issue a warrant for a child doesn't mean you should handle a situation with a warrant. And so my hope is that the family court will recognize what these are, which is traumatic arrests of children. I mean, what's sort of ironic about all of this is we actually don't arrest children who commit crimes in New Zealand as a general rule. There's a provision in the Oranga Tamariki Act that severely limits when children can be arrested. They are typically summoned into the youth justice system because we recognize how traumatic and violent arrests are. And so, you know, the family court has got to start taking responsibility under the Care of Children Act for reining in their own use of these warrants. Often when the court issues these warrants, the language that they use is really the opposite of child-centered. They'll talk about the person who is entitled to contact with the child, the parent who has a right to contact with the child. So parents don't have rights to contact under the Care of Children Act. Children have rights to contact under the Care of Children Act. It's a child's right to have contact with both their parents, but it's also a child's right to be protected if a parent is unsafe. And so I also think the court just needs to undergo a philosophical shift where they stop thinking about children like property. So like this parent is entitled to the child at a particular period of time, and the parent's not getting their entitlement. So we're going to force the child over there, you know, like they're kind of a doggone walkabout, and we'll just send the council van out for them. I think they need to recognize that children are human beings, and that police forcibly arresting somebody is an incredibly traumatic experience that is almost never going to be in the best interest of the child. Whatever needs to happen in the case, it doesn't need to happen with the police.